And I'm going to read from the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. If you get there, and when you get there, shout amen.
Amen.
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Somebody say the riches
of his goodness.
That's really what I want to preach about today. The riches of his goodness and forbearance. Do you know what the word forbearance means? He tolerant. He tolerates us. How many is glad he tolerates us?
Hallelujah.
And long suffering. He suffers with us a long time. At least 75 years. Hallelujah. Not knowing that all of this, the goodness of God, has one purpose in your life. One purpose. Brother Allen, are you thankful that God let you buy with some things that he shouldn't have let you buy with? Amen? How many has that testimony that God's let you buy with some things that he shouldn't have let you buy with? That's called the goodness of the Lord. And it's got one purpose, Sister Tess. It's to lead you to a changed life. Now it says to repentance. Brother Vaughn, it don't say changed life. It says repentance. What do you think repentance is? It's not saying I'm sorry. Repentance is turning all the way around. Changing your all, Mama said all 180 degrees. God wants to turn you around from your rebellion and from the way you've lived your life. But until you do, his goodness and his mercy is pushing you in that direction. Amen. Now we want to go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew 6 and verse 9. After this manner, I want you to pray. Jesus said, I want to teach you how to pray. Notice what he said in verse 9. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen. Father, I ask you to anoint your servant. And it just as importantly, anoint the ears of the people to hear what you want to teach us today from your word. Now, I want to start this off. In that verse, Jesus, they said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, the first words out of his mouth seem so insignificant. Sister Joanna, when Jesus said, our Father, he was trying to introduce you and I to a person. Now, this is important that you get this. Brother Kendrick, many times if we're not careful, we fail to remember that God is a person. Now, this is important. Because if you, and the first thing that Jesus wants to teach his disciples is that God is personal. He is not some computer program out in the sky somewhere. Many Christians, Brother Allen, forget. We don't recognize that we forget, but we seem to forget that our God, the one we all worship, is a person. Now, I don't say human. I said person, meaning he has personality. He has communication. He has feelings. He has a heart. He has goodness and mercy. He is a person. Sister Tess, many people seem to think, brother, that because God is spirit. How many's ever watched Star Trek in your lifetime? Okay, I figured you did, son. Hallelujah, you look like a Trekkie. Yeah, how many is that? Yeah. Well, in Star Trek, Daddy, they've always got this mystical voice in outer space somewhere talking. You know what I'm talking about? There's always this phantasm that's out there just pulsating in the universe. And if we're not careful, that's how we begin to think of our Heavenly Father as some distant voice that's just controlling everything. But Jesus said in his prayer, the first thing I want to teach you about God is that he is a person. He desires fellowship with his children. And many times, brother, we forget this. And I'm going to prove to you in a moment how I know that we forget it. Because God is not just some presence. Brother Vaughn, God is spirit. Well, guess what? So is Satan. What is Satan made of? The same eternal body. He is. He cannot die. Guess who else is spirit? The Bible said the angels of God are ministering what? Spirits. Yes, God is a spirit. Oh, Brother Vaughn, he's invisible only to eyes that see through a glass darkly right now. But then, when we get our new body, the Bible said, then we shall see him as he is, face to face. Brother Vaughn, we can't see God. Well, Jesus was speaking to some disciples, and here's what he said. When their little children was coming to him, he said, hey, they're angels. Do behold the face of my Father in heaven right now. Listen, don't make your God faceless. Don't make him heartless. Don't make him careless. He is a person. But the whole church world approaches him and lives for him as if he is some distant presence in our lives. But Sister Tess, when we pray is when we crawl into his lap and build that relationship between two persons, he and I. Sister, he is not out there playing hide and seek from you. He says, draw nigh unto me. And my person, your Father, will come and draw nigh unto you. Your Father in heaven is not some ghost in heaven. He said, my ear is not heavy that I cannot hear. He's got an ear. He said, my arm is not shortened that it cannot save you. He's got an arm. Your Father is not some distant ghost. He's a present reality in your life every time you pray. Do you know that you bring the very God of the universe into your existence every time you pray? Jesus said, our Father, the first thing he tried to teach you was that you have a relationship between a father and a child. Yes. And you must learn to cultivate that relationship with your Heavenly Father. Yes. He must not become some god of the galaxies. Sister Joanna, he must become your Father.
That's right.
Every day, Sister Tess, he must become more and more. And do you know that if you never pray, you can, you know, while we was on this trip for a month, I would see a look come in my wife's eyes when she would begin to miss her mom and her daddy. And what would she do whenever she wanted to draw from that security of that relationship? She would pick up the phone and do what? Call our father, which was in Waveland. See? And hear the voice. And in one moment, she took a man that was 900 miles away and brought him into her reality at that moment. Prayer is your cell phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on.
I said prayer will bring your Shababa, will bring your heavenly father into your house. It will bring him into your family. It will bring him into your home, your finances, whatever miracle you need today. It comes when you pray. The Bible said when you pray, what that means is he expects you to pray. It is only in prayer that you and your father develop this relationship. And the beautiful thing about it is, Daddy, you don't even have to know how to pray. You don't even have to have. I used to listen to my grandmother pray. She'd repeat the same word. You know what my nana would pray? You know how she prays for an hour? Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. That's all she would say. And y'all ever heard the saint say, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God?
Yeah.
You know, because it's not about the words. It's about the relationship.
That's right.
It's God wants you to have a relationship with him. And Jesus came to introduce us to that relationship. Now, many in the church have turned him from a good God to a computer program. And what do I mean by that? Many people in the world see God with this great computer at his desk. And he's sitting up there with his white beard and his white hair, and he's sitting at his desk. And they see this God with a great big delete button, a big red delete button on his desk. And every time you sin or make a mistake, Sister Joanna, they see that God is ready to hit that delete button on your life.
Yeah.
They see God is ready to delete you for not being perfect before him. They have turned our Heavenly Father into a psychotic psych. Do you know why people do not serve our God? It's because we don't know our God. We serve, somebody say, a good God. He is rich in goodness. And I'm preaching today about the goodness of the Lord. He is rich in goodness. Oh, he's not out to press the delete button on your life. He's out to press the restoration button on your life to restore again and again and again and as many times as you need to be restored. God is a good God. Somebody say he's a good God. He's balanced. God is balanced. The problem, the reason we can't identify with God. Do you know what the seven spirits of God are in the book of Revelation? It is the perfect balance of God. It's wisdom, knowledge, love, justice. All these attributes balance God. The reason we cannot identify with God is because we are unbalanced. God is perfectly balanced. And today I want to talk to you about how to balance God by all of his attributes.
Yeah.
If not, you'll always serve an unbalanced God in your mind. Yeah. And I want to talk about the balance of God. And we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And Brother Peter, if you'll read loud so those listening online can hear this verse. We're going to read in 1 Samuel 21, and we're going to go at first through verse 1 and verse 2, and we'll remain in that chapter for a few moments. Thank you, Lord. I come to tell you today that God loves you, and that God is good, and that God is merciful. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1 through 2. Read, brother.
Then came David to Nob, and Amalek the priest. And Amalek was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Amalek the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee.
All right, now let's pause there, and you can sit down for a moment. We'll pick right back up. I've got a question for you. David was running from Saul. David was hiding from Saul. David got hungry. His men got hungry in the land of Nob. But here comes David, a man, somebody say, anointed by God. After God's own heart. Now you're going to have to stay with me now because I'm fixing to dive in deep. Here comes David, a man of God. And what's the first thing he does to the preacher? Lies through his teeth. Saul didn't send him there. Now hold on, y'all better bear, hang tight, children. David knocks on the church door. And the priest knew this was the anointed future king of Israel. He said, What are you doing here, David? David said, Saul sent me to get bread from you. No, he didn't. The man of God just lied. Somebody say, through his teeth. He lied. Saul did not send him there. He lied. Oh, it's fixing to get even better as we read this little story. I've come to preach to you today the balance of God. All right, let's pick up where we left off, brother, and let's go down and start at verse 3 through verse 6.
Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hollow bread.
Now what did that mean? There was no common bread for common people to eat. Only the priest, according to the law of Yahweh, only the priest could eat hallowed bread that had been sanctified by the preacher. All right, read.
If the young men have kept themselves, at least from women, and David answered the priest and said to him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days.
Now the preacher said, You know what? I might feed you some of this hallowed bread, but I can't do it if y'all been out in them caves with the women committing fornication. David lied again. Said, Ain't no women come near the men. And I'll show you where he lied, because a few verses down, it talks about how the men had been with women. Read.
Since I came out, the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hollow bread, for there was no bread there but show bread, that which was taken before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul...
Is that verse 6, brother?
Well, that's the end.
Okay, listen. Number one, David lied. Number two, he just broke the commandments of God. Now I need you to stay with me. I'm going to teach you about your heavenly Father today. Now let's go read the law of God that David broke. It's in Exodus 29:32. Oh, some folks is nervous, I know, because when you start talking like this and making people think, then they want you to just make them happy. I'm here to teach you about your God today. Exodus 29, verse 32. Read that, Brother Peter.
And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of a ram, and the bread that is in the basket, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Now who was authorized by God to eat the bread? Only the priest. Now this is, somebody say, the law. The law of God said, if any man eats this bread, I'll kill him. Go on down and you'll read where, you ain't got to read it now, but you'll read where the penalty was, he'll kill you if you eat that bread. David just broke that law of God. Because David used the gift of rhetoric, if you will, and talked the preacher into breaking the law of God. If you're not careful, folks will reason themselves all around the Word of God. Oh yeah, they'll tell you it's not really shacking up. They're just living together so they can get a Social Security check. See? People will reason all around the commandments of God. And here's David telling the preacher. The preacher knew that commandment. He knew that nobody was supposed to eat that bread. But by the time David got done with that preacher, even he was willing to give him the bread. Two, somebody say he lied. He broke the law of God. All right, now, I've got a question. I need y'all to be the judge and the jury today. What would you have done to David if he broke the law and lied about it? Lock him up. I'm thinking to teach you today about your God, how perfect he is, and how you can trust him. The balance of God. There's nobody that preaches the law of God any harder than me, I suppose. But I've come today to bring clarity to that message. Hallelujah. While I was gone, God gave this message to me. And God of this message. David broke the law of God and then he lied about it. And I ask y'all what you would do. If you were Judge Tommy down there at circuit court right now, and the prosecutor says, Your Honor, the law says, and yet this boy broke the law and then lied about it. Your Honor, what's your verdict? What do you think the verdict's going to be? Whatever the law says. If you'll stay with me, you'll never ever doubt the perfection of your God ever again. Here is David. Now we're fixing to read a verse of scripture that's really going to bring this to the next level. And it's over in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 4. See, I got people listening to me online right now. Torah thumpers, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but they're all about the law of God, and they should be. We all should be. But if you don't preach the God of balance, you're going to be preaching a different God. Let's read Matthew 12, 1 through 4.
At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. His disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat.
Now, what are two things we have in common with David and Jesus right here? They were both hungry, right? Remember the last story? They just wanted some bread. In this story, what does Jesus and the disciples want? Some bread, some corn. Read.
But when
the church folk saw it, oh, hallelujah.
Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day.
Jesus, you broke the law. Your disciples broke the law. Oh, the truth is, he didn't, because God never said you couldn't eat on the Sabbath day. This was added by the church, by the religious folk that likes to add to the Word of God. Now read.
But he said unto them, have ye not read what David...
Hold on. Not only did David lie, not only did David break the law, but now Jesus is about to use what David did, my, to justify. Oh my, read.
Have you not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests?
Now that's good. Jesus just used the story we just read about a lawbreaker and a liar. Oh, hallelujah. Because David really did break the law of God. Jesus didn't, but he still reaches to that example to show something that I want to show to you today. Listen carefully. There are folks in the world, there's church folks that I know, and look, they're not even part of the movement I'm part of, Sabbath and all that, just good old the church I grew up in. I'm just going to be real with you. There was some folks in the church I grew up in, honey. You broke the law of God, and you was out. Church I grew up in, they saw you in town with a pair of shorts on, you was out. Because why? The Word of God said, I want to explain something to you today. And I want you to hear, the church I grew up in, if a man got married a second time, well, the Word says you can only have one wife. I know it says that. That is the law. But the God I serve.
Amen.
But the God I serve is a balanced God between two things, law and grace. The God I serve is not just a lawmaker and a lawkeeper, but on the other side of that same God is a person. That's why I started this sermon off calling him a person. On the other side of the law, there's a loving Father. There's a loving Heavenly Father that looks at the intent of the heart. Yes, David broke his law, but Father God saw that David was hungry. His mercy, his grace overrides his law when your heart is pure before God. It doesn't do away with his law, Brother Peter, like the church teaches in this grace age. Jesus didn't do away with that law. But he came to show the other side of our Father who art in heaven. He came to show that not only does he give the law, but he turns around and gives grace to the lawbreaker. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that today. For the balance of God, my Heavenly Father that sits high and looks low and sees my heart. Hallelujah. Yes, his word says you can't have but one wife. Yes, that's what it says. But do you not think he was there when your husband was beating you to a pulp and nobody saw it? Do you not think he was there when you made wrong choices in your life? And his heart of mercy says, yes, that's what my law says. But my mercy sees your heart. You're free from the discipline of that law. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Yes, he's a lawgiver, but he's also a grace giver. I said, he's also a grace giver. The Bible said his grace and mercy is new every day in every situation in your life. The lawgiver is a grace giver. Somebody say the intent of the heart. The Bible says on the judgment day that the judge that day won't be like Judge Tommy down there. He won't just judge you by the law.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
He's going to look deeper than that. And he's going to judge the intent of your heart by his law. You listen to me now. God is a loving heavenly Father. Does that do away with his law?
No.
Do you think that once David lied and ate that bread that God did away with the law you read in Exodus that only the priest can eat the bread? Do you think David eradicated that law? It's still a sin to this day if God said it. Read what God said about his law, Matthew 5 and 18, Brother Peter. Now see, we got two extremes in this message. We got some of my good friends that are all about the law. And we got some of my other good friends that's all about grace. But if you're all about either or, then you're not about God. Because he's both. And until you learn that, you'll serve an unbalanced God. Read Matthew 5 and 18. What did Jesus say about the law?
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one little tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law.
So, until heaven, has anybody seen heaven and earth pass?
No.
So the law of God is still in force. Now Paul gives us a grave warning, doesn't he, Dad? Doesn't Paul say, now do we sin because of grace? Do we break the law because God is merciful? What did Paul say? God forbid. Do we say, oh, he's so loving and kind and merciful. He's so wonderful. I'll just ignore his law. No, now you're on the other side of God, see?
Yeah.
Somebody say the left hand and the right hand. Until you give God two hands, you're not serving a person. You're serving a computer. I'm going to say it again. Until you give God his two hands, grace, mercy, and his law. Until you turn him into a two-legged God, a two-armed God, you're serving the God of your imagination. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I'm teaching right now will revolutionize your relationship with your Heavenly Father and with one another in the church. Let me tell you something. Listen to me well. There are people that's Pharisees. They'll come to me and say, Brother Vaughn, look here. It says a woman cannot lead a church. I know that is what it says. Yes, sir. I agree. Paul was very, very tough on women out of their place. Yes, he was. Absolutely. But, that's the law. But the grace of God comes over here when there's nobody else to do the work.
Come on.
Yeah. When there's nobody else to do the work.
Amen.
When there's a city that needs the gospel.
That's right.
You don't think the grace of God will override his own law?
Uh-huh.
A until a man raises up, until there's a man, God will, His grace will suspend that sentence for that law, because He knows the intent of the heart of His children. How does God do this? How does God overlook His own law for David? How?
Because He's God.
Absolutely. And He knows what? The Bible said that the Word of God divides asunder even to the bone and the marrow. Listen, you can't hide your intent from God. That's why... Somebody said, Brother Vaughn, I've been paying my tithes and I ain't been blessed. That's why. Because you tried to tell somebody you were paying your tithes. See? 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 God knows everything you do and why you do it. Let me ask you a question. What about when the Jews were being slaughtered in Germany? And those German soldiers would knock on the door saying, is there any Jews in this house? And the master of the house would say, there's no Jews here, when they were all hiding in the back room. He lied.
Come on. Preach it. Come on.
They lie. And all liars, Brother Vaughn, will have their part in the lake of fire. You're right. But only God can determine what's a lie and what's not.
That's right.
Because the intent of their heart was pure. When you look up the word lie in the Greek, you'll find it associated with the word wickedness and deceitfulness. There's nothing wicked about trying to save somebody's life. Do you hear me? Now you and I, we call that a lie. And God does too. But there's a side of your Heavenly Father that judged the intent of that heart. Aren't you thankful for that today? Aren't you thankful for that today? They told Jesus, this woman's been married 5 times, Lord. She ain't worth nothing. And they were right, according to the... They was right, Daddy. The law said she should be what? Stoned. That's the law, bless God. All my bunch of law-loving folk, and I love the law of God. David loved the law of God. He meditated on the law of God, but that doesn't mean he always lived up to the law of God. And when he didn't, Father God, the Almighty, looked upon the heart of His servant, even when he slept with Bathsheba. My God. Do you know what the church would have done to David? They would have told David, sorry, you can't lead Israel no more. Do you know what they do to me when they find out I had a past? He's not qualified to preach. You're right. According to the law of God, I'm not. But there's another side of the God that called me, and He knows the intent of my heart, and He knows yours. That woman should have been stoned, Brother Peter. That's the law. And bless God, that's God's law. Yes, it is. But if we walk circumspectly before Him, I said if we walk circumspectly before Him, even when situations in your life, you didn't intend for that divorce. You didn't get married saying, I'm going to get married so that I can divorce. And then whenever that mistake is made, even the church cast you out because of the law. The law said it. I know. But the God we serve that wrote that law also told that woman, go and don't do it again. Go and sin no more. Notice what he said. Yes, it was a sin. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
That woman getting married again was a what? I'm talking about the God, our Heavenly Father right now. That woman was in sin, Mama. She was breaking the law. But that man called Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee came to introduce us in that prayer to whom? Yes. Our Father.
Yes.
See it? Our Father. Oh, how many times if you had a decent father, did he lay down the law and then walk off and ignore it when you broke it because he knew your heart? How many times did your father say when you get home, you get the spanking, and he act like he fell asleep so he didn't have to do it? Let me tell you something. God is your father. Not your abusive father, not your alcoholic father. He's a perfect father, full of grace, full of mercy. He's a lawgiver. He's a grace giver. He is the God of all wisdom. I thank God for the goodness of the Lord today. I said, I thank God for the goodness of the Lord today. But Daddy, if we're not careful, see, we mistake the goodness of the Lord, don't we? See? See? He said, the first verse we read, Romans 2 and 9, the goodness of the Lord has a purpose. He lets you by. He overlooks that you broke his law. And he did it a long time to David until finally he had to take David's child. Why? Because the goodness of the Lord, if it does not lead you to a changed life, Daddy's got another hand that will. Oh, but he don't want to use the time. Oh, no. What did he tell Abraham, Daddy? Sodom and Gomorrah was full of homosexuality. It was full of degradation. And God literally told Abraham, please give me a reason not to do what my justice demands that I do. God's always looking for a repentant heart to stop him from doing what must be done. I hope you heard me. Shabba-ba-ba-ba-ya. I said, God's always looking for somebody to repent so that he don't have to send fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, Abraham, I'm begging you, give me a number. 100, yes, I'll do it. 50, I'll do it. 10, I'll do it. I don't want to show them the God of the other side. When the goodness of the Lord runs out, when you've trodden his goodness over time and time again, mark my words, Dad. Our Heavenly Father is also a Father of justice.
Yes.
Now, what is justice? Evening the scales. Your sin gets those scales out of balance. Nobody likes an unjust weight, do we? How many of you like to get cheated at the store? $5 worth of bread, you have to pay $30 for it. That's called an unjust weight. God will always even out the scales of justice. In your life, he will do it. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. But before I do it, I beg you to give me a reason not to. I beg you to find an altar. I beg you to cry one more tear. I beg you to cry one more tear. I beg you to stop me. Because if that don't work, then he draws out his sword. Before he draws out his sword, he draws out his arrows. We don't shoot arrows to kill. We shoot them to stop. He'll shoot you in the leg to stop you from running from your calling. He'll shoot you in the arm to stop you from doing your own thing. He will try. He will send preachers. He will do what he can to stop you. David! Yes, you shouldn't have eaten that bread, but I know you are hungry, son. Our Father, who art in heaven, until you begin to know him as your Father, you will do one of two things. You will turn him into a God of law, or you will turn him into a God of grace, and neither one of those gods is the God of the Bible. But when you give God two hands, unfortunately, and I'm fixing to close, unfortunately, we teach and we've been taught that grace started in the New Testament, that we're somehow in an age of grace. I want to correct that today. I want to tell you that grace started in the Garden of Eden. Somebody say the same yesterday, today, and forever. Grace is not new with God. I said grace is not new with God. No, just ask Adam. That God told him, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. But nobody died. Now the church crowd would have been telling God, you got to kill them. Why? The word said. But God says, yeah, that was my law. You broke it. And you're going to suffer. But my grace is going to override your sentence. I don't know if you saw this a few weeks ago, but it was all over Facebook. There was a judge that sentenced the young girl that was in the army. No, she was a policeman. I'm sorry. She was a police officer. Had lived a good life, never been in trouble, and had served her community as an officer of the law. Something happened, and she shot a man and killed that man. Now, I don't know why, I don't understand, I wasn't there, but something happened in that courtroom that set the world on fire, literally. You know what this judge did? She sentenced the girl to prison. That's called justice. You broke the law. She sentenced her. She's going to prison. But a strange thing happened. The judge gets up out of her seat and walks off the dais that she's sitting on, walks down to the defendant, the accused, the guilty. This girl's now guilty. The sentence, the jury found her guilty. And this judge brought this girl a Bible and put it in her hands and then wrapped her arms around that girl. And do you know that everybody on Facebook went crazy that the judge showed that kind of love to a guilty person? You know why that is? That's the kind of God they serve. Justice without mercy is satanic. Say it again. Justice without mercy is satanic. Satan has no mercy on you, but our Heavenly Father, He does. Oh, and then you can go all the way over to Nineveh, and I'm truly just about done. God told Nineveh, I'm going to destroy you in 40 days. Now listen, folks, and I want you to hear me. Jonah, God had just shown Jonah mercy in the belly of the whale, didn't he? Why? Because Jonah disobeyed God. I want to show you something funny about people. Jonah disobeyed God, was going in a different direction. God sent a fish called mercy to swallow him up and spit him out into his destiny, right? Well, Jonah, he said, Jonah, I want you to go tell those people in Nineveh I'm killing every one of them in 40 days. Now, he did not tell Jonah to say, if they repent, I won't do it. He didn't tell Jonah that. He never told Jonah, tell them to repent. And Jonah didn't tell them to repent. The law of God had been set, I'm going to kill them all in 40 days. But some strange thing happened, Daddy. They touched the heart of God. The Ninevites, the Bible said, they got in sackcloth and ashes. And they repented of what they had done before God. And God, do you not know that you can touch the heart? Do you know why you don't think you can touch the heart of God? You think He's a computer, but He's our Father. You can touch Daddy's heart even when he's got the belt coming off of his waist. You know how many times I jerked that belt off to my sons and their tears touch my heart? Do you not think your tears don't touch the Master?
He's your Father.
That's right.
Our Father. And God changed his mind. 40 days later, the only one looking stupid is Jonah. And what did Jonah do? He went and crawled under a gourd and got mad at God for showing mercy. And who was it that needed that same mercy just 40 days earlier? That's the way religious folks are. I hope you heard me. That's the way religious folks are. When God don't send judgment on people that they think he ought to send it on, they'll get mad at God. But I remember when you needed mercy. I said, I remember when you needed mercy. I remember when I needed mercy. I remember when I didn't deserve it. But our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, rich in goodness. Somebody say rich in goodness. God is good. God is good. Brother Allen, you wouldn't be sitting in that seat if God wasn't good, son. I don't care how many times you bailed somebody out of jail. If you love them, you'll be right back bailing them out again. How many times has God bailed you out? He's a good God. I want to close with Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. I want to say something to all the churches that's listening online, all of the people, everybody here. I want to say that there's something missing in our churches. A balance between law and grace. I want to read to you what happens when the Holy Ghost falls on you. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Read it, brother.
And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all.
Hold on. Somebody say great grace.
Great grace
was upon the whole church.
Thank you, Lord.
They had grace for one another. Number one, they had power. They were out there. They had power. But listen, power without grace turns a church into a lynching station.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Come on.
Yes, they had power. But grace, somebody say grace was upon the church for one another. Now, not if your intent of your heart was wicked. How many remembers Ananias and Sapphira? Was there any mercy for them? No. They lied to the Holy Ghost, and what happened? But why? Wickedness. They were deceiving by wickedness. They were wicked, and God knew there was nothing pure in them. Therefore, God is looking for somebody today that's made a few mistakes, but they still love the Lord. They made some mistakes, but deep inside, they still love the Lord. God's got mercy on that kind of person. I said, God's got a lot of mercy on that kind of a person. Let's stand today. Hallelujah. Oh, I want great grace to be up on Miracle Tabernacle. I want great grace to be on First Harvest Ministries. I want great grace to be on the church where we can judge one another by the Spirit of God. Brother Vaughn, you was teaching a few weeks ago that we're supposed to judge people. We are, by the Spirit. By the same Spirit of God that He judges them by. Somebody walks in that door, been married 7 times, and they come to Daddy and say, Daddy, of course, Daddy's not in the marrying business no more. But let's say he was, and they said, Daddy, we want you to marry us. Well, some church member, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to turn. You shall be the husband of one wife. That's what they're going to turn to. The law. This is the what? That's the law. But God gave ministers a very special power. He told the clergy, the ministry, I give you authority to bind on earth. I give you authority not to change the law, but to discern by the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And that's when the man of God listens to their story. He prays about it. And he sees if there's mercy from God to override that law. Otherwise, nobody can get married. Nobody can. Now, it's the same way. If they come in and their heart's not pure, they just want to live in sin. You got to discern that. But if they're living for God, they're trying to do the right. And then the church has to judge by the Spirit of God. Brother Allen, I'm so glad that the God of mercy overrode his own law in my life many times. But be careful not to mistake the goodness of the Lord as Him overlooking you. He's not overlooking. He's granting you grace. Let's lift our hands. Father, we worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy. Let's all come to the front and let's just thank the Lord for His grace and His mercy.
It reaches down from the throne.
This mercy said no.
Mercy said no.
I'm not gonna let you go.
I'm gonna let you go.
When life and death stood face to face,
let you slip away. When life and death.